Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you would. Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 1, and if you'll read with me the even verses, please. We'll read through verse 8, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 31 in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about being a good soldier. And we talked about being untangled last week. And that a good soldier is untangled. And you might think that this word that is mentioned here in this text has to do with not being afraid or has to do with bravery, but it doesn't really have to do completely with those two words. It has more to do with something else, another element that we're going to look at today. But that word, of course, is the word courage. Courage. And today I want to help us all with this idea of courage. So simply the title of the message today is Be of Good Courage. Be of good courage. We know that Joshua here in chapter 31 was commanded, if you will. He said to Joshua in verse 7, Be strong and of a good courage. We know just a couple pages over, after the death of Moses in Joshua chapter 1, God speaks to Joshua, and he tells him to be of good courage, and that he should be strong and very courageous. And like I said before, this doesn't necessarily have to do with bravery. It doesn't necessarily have to do with not being afraid. If you look to examples in our military or in firefighters or police forces, other things, courage doesn't necessarily mean that the officers or the soldiers were not afraid. Sometimes they were scared out of their minds. All right? But they still had courage. They may not have been the most brave individuals, but they still had courage. So, here's actually what the word courage means. I think a lot of times our problem is we don't really know what words mean. And so here's what it means. It's an attitude. Choosing to deal with something instead of withdrawing from it. That's what courage is. Courage is a choice. I can be afraid and have courage. Yeah. I can lack bravery and have courage. Because courage is a choice. I can say, I am going to deal with this. That's courage. That's a decision. It has nothing to do with my feelings. It has nothing to do with my abilities. It has nothing to do with my emotions. It has everything to do with my attitude toward that circumstance. I am going to deal with this. God's people are told to make a choice. Didn't Joshua say at the end of his life, choose you this day whom ye will serve? He didn't say, who do you feel like serving? He didn't say, which God are you most afraid of? No. He said, choose. Choose. As the children of Israel are being commended by Moses, they're told to, in verse 6, to be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, listen to this, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. If you go back and look at the other verses, it talks about God. Look at verse 3. It says, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And then it says, then thou shalt possess them. And then it says in verse 4, the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. They didn't destroy it. He did it. So he's setting them up. He's saying, be strong, but be of a good courage. Make a choice to trust God. Trust God. Follow God. He's going before you, so you follow. He's going to destroy them. You can possess the land. This is something that is a choice. So he says, be of good courage. He said, don't be afraid. He said, don't fear this thing because God's going to do it. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you what? We have a God that will not forsake us. Amen. We have a God that will not fail us because he is God. He keeps his promises. In the book of Matthew, and chapter 28, as Christ is leaving, he says to his disciples these words. In Matthew 28, look what he says. Matthew 28, he says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them in verse 18, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Folks, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. So we have the ability to make a choice to be of good courage, have an attitude to deal with things instead of withdrawing from them. That's what courage is. So today I want to encourage you to be of good courage. Be of good courage. First of all, let's be of good courage to deal with sin. To deal with sin. An attitude to deal with sin instead of withdrawing from it. And what I say is not from with withdrawing from doing it, withdrawing from dealing with it. Hey folks, we all have to deal with sin. Sin is a part of who we are. We're born in it. It's inherited. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned. Sin is part of who we are. Don't run away from it. Don't withdraw from it. Deal with it. First of all, we've got to deal with sin unto salvation. Sin has to be dealt with for us to be saved. You can't just keep running away from it and running away from it and running away from it. You are condemned already. Sin has to be paid for. For the wages of sin is death. It is. It has to be dealt with. Don't think that you can just live in sin, die in sin, and everything's going to be okay. It's not. You can't just ignore it.
Oh, it's not there. Oh, it's there. Nope, not there. Oh, there. Nope. Okay, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Sin has to be dealt with. If you don't deal with it, God is going to at the great white throne judgment. Just go over and read in Revelation 21. You'll find out how God deals with sin. And they'll be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Hey, sin is going to be dealt with. One way or the other. So we've got to deal with sin. In Mark chapter 1, it says, now that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hey, we've got to confess, we've got to repent. We've got to deal with sin. In Luke 13 verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hey, we got to deal with sin, folks. We can't just run from it. We can't say, oh, it's scary. It's out there. And, oh, I don't want to deal with that. We've got to take courage. Be of good courage and deal with your sin unto salvation. We must be born again. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. God wants us to deal with things, not run away from them. That takes courage. And may I say, a good courage. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen to this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hey, what did Moses tell the children? He's going to go before you. He's going to take care of them. He's going to defeat them just like he defeated them before. Hey, God's going to take care of the sin. He's going to forgive it. He's going to give you eternal life. You just got to face it and deal with it. He's gone before us, folks. He already went to the cross. He already died. He already rose again. He's already ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's done it all. All we got to do is face it and trust him and be saved. Now, I may be looking in the faces of those who've already faced sin and received forgiveness of sin through salvation. Do you know what? Just because you're saved doesn't mean the sin goes away. Yeah. And listen, there's a group out there. It was interesting. One of the assistant pastors at Trinity had a run-in with one of these guys. Said, yeah, I haven't sinned in 18 years. Oh, really? It's one of those guys that believes you have to keep your salvation by not sinning. Can I tell you something, folks? God's the one that keeps us saved, not us. We are still flesh. And we have to deal with sin. Not for salvation, because we've already received salvation, but for fellowship. For fellowship. Man, when I was a kid, I was a bit of a knucklehead, just like maybe some of you were. Well, I got one amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? There were times where I didn't want to face my parents because of something I had done. I avoided them. I left my report card in my locker. Or I just conveniently wasn't around when my dad got home. Come on now. I'm not the only one that did that. Huh? Why? Because I had done something wrong. And I was avoiding fellowship. Be of good courage. Face it. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. We always jump to verse 9, but can I tell you this whole chapter has to do with being of good courage to deal with sin unto fellowship. Restoring the relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Now, first of all, is this someone who is not saved speaking here? Oh, no. No, this is a saved person speaking. This is speaking to saved people. We have handled the word. We've received salvation, for this life was manifested, verse 2, and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Listen to this. Which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have salvation with Him, is that what it says? No. Don't get this confused, folks. This is not about salvation. This is about what? Fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The problem's not with Him. It's with us. If we say, yeah, I can do what I want, I can sin, I have liberty, I'm saved and going to heaven, and I can just live my life how I want to, it says we can't have fellowship. We lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, like that guy, has been perfect for 18 years, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Folks, we need to be of good courage and deal with sin. You know what? When I make a choice to do something against God's word, I am no longer in fellowship with Him. I'm not. And I need to be. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us of sin. When we're lost unto salvation, and when we're saved unto fellowship. But He tells us, you're wrong. You need to get right. And folks, we have got to listen to that call. The children of Israel were commanded to go in and possess the land. They were told to be strong and of a good courage, but they were also told that God has already taken care of everything. All you have to do is deal with it. All you have to do is face it. Be of good courage. Folks, we've got to, if we're going to have fellowship with God. How many of you want a Savior and then have nothing to do with them? I mean, really? Really? You want to have someone save you from your sin and then have nothing to do with them? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Where is the, oh, how I love Jesus? Where is the gratefulness of something you could never pay back? Right? I mean, if I were to go out here in the parking lot and something were to happen to one of you and I were to save your life, right? Wouldn't that be okay? You wouldn't mind, would you? Huh? And you might just be a tiny little bit grateful for that, wouldn't you? Huh? Yeah. And you might even thank me. And you might even do nice things for me for the rest of your days. I mean, used to be in some cultures that if someone saved your life, you became their slave or their servant. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, okay? Because they owed their life to you. Right? Hello? You've been bought with a price? You're not your own? Should there be a little gratitude there? Shouldn't you want to be with that person? The Lord Jesus Christ? Shouldn't you want to be close to Him instead of far away? I mean, just think about it, trying to avoid Jesus. But we've got to deal with it. We've got to be of good courage. We've got to confess our sin. And He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you have been turned away from the dinner table because your hands were not clean? Huh? Mama looked at your hands and said, you ain't eating at this dinner table. Go wash up. Well, can I tell you something? In a similar fashion, the Lord says, I'm not sitting with you. Go wash up. We got to get cleaned up. Again, not for salvation, but for fellowship. Fellowship. We have got to face our sin. Dealing with sin unto salvation. Dealing with sin unto fellowship. Go over to Matthew chapter 4. Let's talk about something else we need to have courage about. Now, remember what I said. Courage is not necessarily a no-fear attitude. Sometimes it's good to be afraid. That's a healthy thing. Can I tell you something? I've worked on a church bus. I've been the captain of a church bus. I am for the excitement of church bus programs. Some of you are in here, have been captains, have been workers or bus drivers of a church bus. And listen, I'm for all the excitement and with a military background, I'm for cadences and all the fun and rah-rah and all that stuff. I'm for all that. But can I tell you, some of these church bus songs are not very doctrinal. Yeah. There's one we used to sing. If I had a little white box to put my Jesus in, I'd take Him out and put Him back again. And if I had a little black box to put the devil in, I'd take Him out and smash His face and put Him back again. Okay. I mean, great excitement, but not very doctrinal. You know what I'm saying? You like that one, don't you? Should we sing? Brother Camp, they want to sing that tonight for a chorus. We got to sing. Down by the river, I took a little walk. Met up with the devil, and we had a little talk. I pushed him in the river and hung him on the line. We can beat the devil any old time with the ha ha. Wait a minute. Time out. You know what we're dealing with here? Well, it shouldn't be an attitude of arrogance. Because let me tell you, folks, you can't beat the devil any old time. He will eat your lunch. Oh, yeah. You think this creature is to be trifled with? No, I didn't say we're to run away. I didn't say we're to flee the devil. But you better be a little bit afraid, if you will. Because it ain't your power. It's God's power. Don't you be arrogant or cavalier about it. Like I said, don't you forget who he is. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Are you there? Jesus, the Son of God, dealt with the devil. Now again, like I said, we've got to deal with it. Be of good courage. Don't forget that it's God who has gone before us to enable us to have the courage to follow and to possess the land. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. No kidding. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You say, well, that's Jesus. That's no problem for him. Hey, listen, if it's no problem for him, it's no problem for us. It's not a problem. I didn't say you have to be arrogant and cavalier about it, get a bit of pride in your heart. But it's Jesus who's already gone and won the victory. It's Jesus' power that has the power to defeat the devil, not yours. And you can be of good courage and fight the good fight of faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You ought not run from the devil, but you ought to be of good courage and resist the devil, and he shall flee. We're going to read that in here in just a minute. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Living the proper Christian life helps us not give the devil a place in our life. We have not so learned Christ, folks. We ought not do these things that are part of the old nature. And we ought to put on the new man. We ought to put on these things and put on Christ so that we don't give the devil a place in our lives. We need to be of good courage and deal with the devil. We need to deal with Satan. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. If you're going to deal with this creature, you better be geared up. You ever notice here in Ephesians chapter 6 that this is all frontal armor? There's no back armor. What do you think of someone who has courage? Even though they're afraid, even though they're not the bravest of sorts, how do they face the situation? Head on. Head on. Look what we're given. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in your own flesh. Nope. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What did Moses tell the children of Israel? He it is that goeth before thee. He's gone in. He's going to take care of it. You just need to go. Just be strong and be of a good courage. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Does that mean you're not afraid of him? No, that just means you're of good courage. That you can take a stand, you can have the attitude to deal with this circumstance and not withdraw from it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This sounds like someone who has courage. They're standing in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Hey, shields go like this, so that you can press forward in the battle. They don't go like this as you're running away from the battle. Courage? Not courage. Huh? Yeah. He says, quench the fire darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword. That's an offensive weapon, folks. Uh-huh. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying. Oh, boy, I like that one. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And a watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, does that sound like someone who has courage? Yes. Be of a good courage. Over in 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Isn't it interesting that in all these cases, God has gone before? Just like Moses said. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. In order to resist him, you have to face him, folks. Resist steadfast in the faith. Men, once again, not according to our bus song, but according to the Word of God. Yeah, we can beat the devil, but not in our strength, but in his. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, folks, we've got to resist him. We can't give place to him. We've got to face him with the whole armor of God, But we can have good courage because we know that the Lord has already won the victory. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's because of Him. It's not me. It's Him. But I can have good courage to deal with Satan. Listen, if you don't deal with him, he's going to deal with you. I promise you that. And the same thing with sin. If you don't deal with sin, sin is going to deal with you. It is. Now, one more. And we'll be done today. Go over to Romans chapter 6. You've heard me hit on this topic somewhat quite often in the last couple of months. You know, I'm excited. It's almost, next week will be 4 months being here. That's amazing. I thought you all would have got rid of me a long time ago. Romans chapter 6. I like being here, so I do say that in jest, okay? Look what he says in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You notice it doesn't say there would not or could not. It says should not. Okay, should not. Pay attention to that. English words are important even though they're confusing. For that he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should not, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Folks, another thing we need to deal with, not only sin, we need to deal with self. We need to deal with the flesh. The devil needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. And the flesh needs to be dealt with. In 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Yeah. We need to look in the old mirror and say, not today, pal. Not today. You are not ruling this life today. Remember what James said? It's like the man looking in the mirror. Forgetteth what manner of man he was. Right? Don't forget who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the flesh. Hey, can I tell you something? We can go back and we could go through Romans chapter 5. And I would that I could not, did that I would not, and would that I would not. And, oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? Hey, folks, listen. We're wretched. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. We've got to understand that the flesh has got to be dealt with. It uses words like, take up your cross and follow Christ. It says, crucify the flesh. It says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. The Bible talks about putting the flesh in its place. If we don't, it will rule us. And it will take over. You got to just say no. It's an amazing thing. You can get up in the morning And you can say to the flesh, not today. And you can live for God. And you can go forward for God. And when you go to sleep, a miraculous thing happens. The flesh revives. It does. And the next day, you got to do it all over again. Hey, can I tell you something? We have got to be of good courage. In Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify. Put to death. Take care of it. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's a fight, folks. And in back in Romans 5, 6, and 7, and even a culmination in chapter 8, it's a fight. It's a battle. Hey, listen. If you feed the flesh, you're going to serve the flesh. If you feed the spirit, you're going to serve the spirit. It's your choice. We've got to be of good courage and deal with the flesh. Don't forget what Paul said. Bring your body into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Jesus dealt with in his earthly ministry was this thing of the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. What do we deal with today? Oh, that preacher, I don't listen to him because he's a hypocrite. Those Christians, those believers, they preach a good sermon, but they don't live it. Hey, it's because we're not being of good courage and dealing with the flesh. We got to deal with it, folks. It needs to be dealt with. Don't let it win. It doesn't have to win. It's supposed to be dead. I mean, I hope that I could win a fight with a dead person. Don't you? Huh? I mean, someone else must have already won the fight because they're dead. So I shouldn't lose the fight. Come on now, you laugh. But isn't that true? Jesus already won the fight with our flesh. He already went before us, just like he went before Israel and was going to defeat them so they could walk in and take over. Yeah. What a shame would it be for me to lose to a dead person. But yet we lose that fight over and over and over again. Why? Why? We don't have to. Jesus has already given us the victory. Be of good courage. Be strong. It's a willingness. It's an attitude. We've got to deal with sin. We've got to deal with Satan. And we've got to deal with self. If we're going to be of good courage, we've got to have an attitude to deal with these things instead of withdrawing from them. He says, go back to Deuteronomy real quick. We'll just end with this. What Moses said to the children of Israel should be said to believers all across the world. Look at verse 6, chapter 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God. So the of them, sin, Satan, and self. Be not afraid, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's him. It's him. Folks, he's with us. That's why we can be of a good courage. We can. And we should.